Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, God, that you have made a new way for us, a new living way through your Son, that we can boldly come to you, Lord. We thank you this morning that you are here with us, Lord, that we can know your presence, we can know your living word, and we come, Holy Spirit, and we welcome you as our teacher in this place. We welcome you as to come and transform us and to come and breathe life into us, Lord, that as we sit down and as we eat your word like fresh bread, Lord, I thank you that it nourishes us. I thank you that it builds us up, Lord. I thank you that it brings life to all who hear it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that we're not here for somebody's opinion this morning, but Lord God, I pray that you'd come and make your word flesh in us, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Great. These days I've got this clock running here, so it helps me not to go forever. Excuse if I just glance at this now and again. Just one moment, so I get this sorted. Okay. Great. So I've put it on 2 hours. Is that okay? Okay. Tough crowd. Alrighty, let's go. Let's read from Psalm 23, very well known. David writes, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So this is something we know. One of the first ones I got to know, or the scriptures I got to know a little bit better. And when one looks at this, one kind of gets this incredible picture of the Lord, God our Father, as a shepherd. And the good shepherd at that. And I'm just quickly, I'm not going to focus on this, but I'm going to use this as an introduction. So when we look through this psalm, we see a whole lot of things that God promises us in terms of him being our shepherd and being one that cares for us. So we look at that and we see, and firstly, we shall not want, he's our provider. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to still waters. He restores my soul. So there's provision. There's restoration. He restores my soul. We see a few times he says he leads me. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. So there's a lot of leading going on. Okay, the Lord, the shepherd, leads and he directs us. And we see there's protection, okay, going through the valley of the shadow of death. There's danger, there's protection. There's a rod and a staff, which kind of has two aspects. There's the protection one, and there's also the correction part. And they go together, which is not something we always enjoy. But, the Lord says he corrects those he loves as a father does his children. Something I'm getting to know, even though Abigail's only, she's one on Tuesday. Okay, so having a big party. It's crazy, these birthday parties for the little ones. I'm sure they won't even remember. You know, it's one of those things. The parents absolutely pull out all the stops. But I always thought it's ridiculous, you know, I go to other people's children's first birthday party. But now, because it's mine, it makes sense. You know, you want to do everything you can. Any case, so we're going to have a pool party with a little splash pool. Hopefully the weather's good. But I've learned that even though she's only almost one, there's a little bit of a will coming through. And I have to, because I love her, I have to do the tough thing and help her to see the error of her ways. I'm sure we'll have a lot more of that. But there's a correction as well, and the Lord corrects those he loves. But then we also see he's a comforter. Victory and a celebration of victory. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So there's a celebration of who we are, the celebration of victory in our lives, and then the goodness and the mercy that follows us. So we see this incredible picture of the abundance of life that God has prepared for us, and the way that He lavishes upon us as the Good Shepherd. But now, in terms of how we experience that, it's an interesting thing, because in the current context, I mean, it's not like we know God as the actual Shepherd, but we know all these things that He provides, that He gives us a picture of here. And we see that God has made provision for this, and we experience this in two main contexts I'm going to look at today very briefly. Firstly, we see that in the natural family, where, for instance, now as I mentioned, we're having our first child now, Abigail. So we see there in a family that God has provided, in God's design for family. Now we see that, you know, many of us haven't grown up in the perfect family, myself included. But God's design was for us to experience His father heart and His shepherd heart in the context of our family, in provision, in care, in nourishment, in comfort. So that is part of His design. And then on a second level, in our spiritual family, it's the same. God has designed for us to, when we are, you know, once we're born again, we're in relationship with Him. He has designed for us to come into a context of a local spiritual family where we can experience these powerful promises that He has given us in this context. So you see where I'm going with this. So this is the context in which we experience His shepherd heart. And you know, it's one of those things where, you know, in a family, whether it's your natural family or your spiritual family, because we are dealing with human beings, okay, we have to understand that sometimes each of us having a part of the shepherding process, God has given us a kind of a shepherding role as well. Wow, that was quite impressive. And you hear thunder that often, yeah, do you? So each of us here, whether it's in our natural family or in our spiritual family, each of us will have a shepherding role in some kind or another. I'm going to get to that a little bit later. But because the human factor is involved, we're going to have sometimes a human error as well. Okay. So whenever we're dealing with this in a natural family and in a spiritual family, we have to put our eyes on the chief shepherd. And our confidence is in the chief shepherd, knowing, okay, Lord, You know what You're doing. You have appointed other shepherds, whether it's in the form of my physical father or my spiritual father. You have appointed other shepherds that are looking after me. And I'm going to have to, although I know they're fallible, I can have confidence in the chief shepherd that He will not let me go. That He will, through the people that He has appointed over me and He has put around me, He's going to look after me. Are you with me this morning? And that's a tough thing. You know, sometimes it's tough because we're dealing with people, but on the other hand, it's amazing because we don't put our faith in people. We put our faith in God, in the chief shepherd. But we also put our faith in the knowledge that He has appointed people, and His wisdom has appointed people over us and put people around us through which we will experience His father heart. Are you with me still? Okay. Now, this is, why is all this necessary? Why is this protection necessary? Why is all this shepherding necessary? Let's quickly look at 1 Peter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Okay, so we see this picture of an adversary that is out there, an enemy of our souls, as he's called. And he's roaring, you know, going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And something that from time to time one experiences in your spiritual walk and in your walk with God, and then you realize, and I've had that in the last 2 weeks again, I've just been so aware of the reality of the adversary out there. And this is not I want to scare you and... That is not a kind of fear and trembling message. But it's just that kind of reality of, okay, we have someone out there, we have an adversary who's called the accuser of the brethren, he's called the enemy of our souls, and his plan is only our destruction. He is not He's not interested in anything much else. He is interested in destroying. And as the scripture says, he's come that to kill and to steal and to destroy. But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it in abundance. So we see the reality of the adversary. And we realize that because of the reality of that enemy that we face, it is so much, it's so crucial for us to have the safe place where we are safe, where we are. If we look at the sheep picture again, in the sheepfold, where the shepherd is there, he can protect us, where the covering of God is present, okay? And I've really experienced this personally as well. There was a time when I came over to work in London was it 12 years ago now, for a couple of months, and for a time I wasn't in a church. And I obviously, I came here and I was new in the city, so I was praying around where should I commit, etc. And there's grace for that. But at the same time, I was experiencing, after a few weeks, I was experiencing, okay, I need to slot into a local body. I need to get into the local family, the local sheepfold, because I'm starting to experience this is not good for me to be on my own. I was experiencing that thing, where the sheepy is there on its own out there, and the wolves are out there, and whatever is out there. And you start to realize, okay, there's a reason why God puts us together. There's a reason why he's put a safe place for us, a place, as in this picture, that we're in the sheepfold, where the adversary, the enemy, cannot get to us. Okay, so I experienced that in a very real way, and that is part of the reason, that place of protection that God has, that is prepared for us, because of the reality of that. And it's something I just thought of on this morning as I was preparing some more, just praying around this. When the enemy, it says he speaks like a roaring lion, okay? But if you see a lion walking down the road, roaring, have you seen that before? Not around here. Okay, now I'm glad to hear that. But have you seen a lion in the flesh? It's quite, to be honest, it's quite, not in the zoo, I'm not talking about in a zoo, I mean in the wild. It's scary. And you can see those things, they will take you out. They've got paws big like this. Seriously. And you just know, one swipe of that paw and it's tickets, it's finished. We once went to one of these game parks where you can play with the baby lions, the cubs, and very cute. Did you know they got spots and they're very small? Lions. Yes. Yeah, you don't believe me, eh? Yeah, just joking. But no, they've got spots. It's quite cool. But so they were there, and we could play with them. And although they had very sharp teeth, they were kind of manageable. They were only this big. But next door, in a little camp next door, they had tigers there who were about 18 months old. And they had also been at a place where you could play with them. But now they were 18 months, they were this size, like a big dog. And nobody was allowed in there anymore. Because although they were very playful, okay, they were jumping up and down, and the handler could go in and play with them. It was really cool to see, and it looks like a lot of fun. They could easily take you out, just playing, a very strong, actually, So we just realized, okay, that's a scary thing. But if you see a lion in the bush, you're not going to go play with it. Do you agree? Because you can see this is dangerous. So the enemy doesn't come to us in a shape that we recognize as dangerous. You understand? He's been at this for many years. What, 6,000 plus? So he doesn't come to us like the devil with horns on his head and like a thing in his hand wanting to stab us or anything. No, he doesn't come to us like a lion. He comes to us in different shapes and forms, So when the attack comes, and it can come in very different ways. And I've just recently seen this again. There was a person in one of our congregations that was wanting to get involved in an ungodly relationship, unequally yoked, ungodly. And where this person was at, this looked great. This looked blessed. There was loving, there was nurturing happening, there was comforting and caring happening. And you know, from that person's point of view, wow, this is great. But from my point of view, I could see that this is the enemy wanting to kill that person because it was not a godly thing. It was out of order. It was not equally yoked. Everything, you know. It's so I had to go and chat to this person because I really, the Lord gave me incredible urgency in it. And I can't give you all the detail, but trust me, this wasn't from God, okay? And it was interesting because I had to really sit with this person and explain to them, listen, I know where you're sitting. You can't see this, but you need to trust. You need to trust the chief shepherd now. He's put me here, okay? And you need to hear me now because the enemy has got only one plan, and that is to take you out. For you, where you're sitting now, this looks great. This is great. Everything is nice. But from where I'm sitting, I can see where he's going with this. And he wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your life. That's his only plan. He's not, you know, so I told this person, listen, you cannot go into the lion camp and play with the lion. You can't do that. So you have to listen to me. So it's one of, you know, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. But so we know the adversary is real. And we know he doesn't always come in the shape of a lion, big roaring lion. So we need to trust one another that when I say to Dong Dong, listen, watch out for that, the Dong can say, wow, I didn't even see that happening. You know, we can kind of watch out for one another in that way. And a friend of mine, Yanko, he always, when he talks about shepherding and discipling, he always asks the question, you know, the account of the shepherd that leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Okay? Now, it's, and you know, in history, we've had it painted in different ways. There's always this, you know, this shepherd leaning over the cliff. His life is in danger, and he's kind of reaching out for the little sheepy there on the ledge. Have you seen that? No, not really. Okay. You know, but it's, you know, that whole risk thing, and he's putting his life on the line for the sheep, and that's beautiful. But now, the question is, what happens to the 99? When the little sheepy is run off and the shepherd is going after it. Have you thought of that? What happens to the 99 when the shepherd's going after the one? And what Yanko, my friend, always says, he says, the 99, if they have been shepherded well, will be able to look after one another. They will not look after themselves, you know, each after themselves. They will look, I will look, you know, we will look out for one another. And that's how the spiritual family works. Each of us have a kind of a part in the shepherding role. And in whichever place you find yourself, whichever gifting God has given you, whether you feel you called to be an evangelist like Billy Graham or Reinhard Bonnke and you're going to preach at millions of people, whether you've got that gifting or whether you've got a prophetic gifting or you've got an intercessory gifting, one key thing that each of us have to have when we're kind of flowing in the gift that God gives us is a heart for people, is that shepherd heart. So, you know, often, you know, when you hear people say, you know, I'm a prophetic guy or I'm into worship and, you know, I don't really like people. You know, you have to kind of mature in that because if you're going to be flowing in the gift of the Spirit and the gift that God gives us, we're going to have a heart for the people of God. Are you with me still? Okay. So each of us have got a part to play. Each of us have got a role, whether it's in small group, whether it's in the worship team or at intercession. Each of us will have an opportunity as we walk with God to look after others, to shepherd others, to look out for one another, to care for one another, whether it's in prayer or I'm going to look at a few practical points in a moment. But we've got specific key parts to play in looking out for one another. I have to be quick. All right, so I'm going to quick look at John chapter. Let me see. John chapter 13:34. Jesus speaking to the disciples. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Okay, so this is something we often quote, but we quote that little bit at the end. We quote that part about by this you will know. Okay, now if you look at the first bit there, firstly he says that this is a commandment, and again, you know, this is not very PC, you know, politically correct commandments, and people are very tense about that these days. But Jesus often spoke in commandments. You know, the 10 suggestions. You heard about them? No. Okay. So he says, a new commandment I give to you, and he says that you love one another. But you agree that you see that if he left it there, that you love one another, we would have been, oh, yeah, that's cool, you know, love one another. That sounds good. No problem. I'll do my best type of thing. But then he adds this bit. He says, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So now he puts this thing in a whole different galaxy because it's now, he's put a standard to it. Okay? So he says, I want you to love one another. And then he says, like this, like I have loved you. So this is now a different ball game. Do you see this? Now Christ is the standard. Now it's just like not a buddy-buddy. Now it's a I lay my life down type of love. Okay, so now immediately we have to look at this a little bit carefully because Jesus says, I want you to love one another in the same way that I have loved you. In the same way that I've laid down my life for you. Okay, so now it's crazy because now Christ is the standard and it's getting a bit tense because he's basically making it unattainable. Do you see this? He's making it impossible for us to attain this on our own. Okay, I know you're concerned now because Jesus is telling us something to do something which is impossible. Okay, so just hang in there. But just look at the second bit there. Jesus is concerned. He cares about what the world, what people that don't know him see when they look at us, the family of Christ. You see that? He's got a marketing plan. I know people get very tense when you say words like that in church. But he's got a marketing strategy, and this is a key part of that. He says, people will know who you are and whose you are by the way you treat one another, by the way you love and you care for one another. Okay? So we need to kind of look out for that. We understand that that's a key part of how people will know Christ in us by how we care for another. Okay, let's look at Romans 5:5. How is this possible to actually love like this? Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So this is good news, okay? We recognize that Christ is expecting us to love others in a godly way that he has loved us. But at the same time, he says, listen, I'm sending you another helper, and I've poured the Holy Spirit out, and the love of God has been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit that you have received. So the capacity, he expects us to do something in a godly way, but at the same time, he makes it possible to us to receive the Holy Spirit and to receive the capacity to indeed love people in a way that he has loved us. Do you see that? And this is interesting because, not interesting, but this is a key. In the charismatic or more Pentecostal churches, we often make this mistake. I was born again in a time where there was a big focus on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, there were a lot of things going on, services. A lot of it was from God. A lot of it was not. You know, it's kind of like, it's crazy. And a lot of focus on the power of the Holy Spirit in manifesting in gifts of the Holy Spirit and amazing things. Obviously, very cool things happening. But we found that often there's a big focus on the gifts. There's a big focus on the tricks, if you call it that. People think it's like tricks. You know, you do tricks with the power of the Holy Spirit. But what we see here is that one of the primary reasons why God has poured out his Holy Spirit is that we can walk in the love of God towards other people. That you and I can love people, love one another, love everybody out there in the same way that Christ has loved us. Isn't that powerful? It's not about the tricks. It's not about the manifestation of the gifts. It's not about being the man of power for the hour. It's about the love of God manifesting through your life towards somebody next to you. Are you with me this morning? I want to really encourage you, you know, if you've been desiring spiritual gifts, you've been trusting God to grow in the gifts, which you should do, and you've been a little bit frustrated, trust God for this. Because I've experienced when I care about someone, when I kind of put myself out there and I love someone in this way, I don't have to force anything. I have to psych myself up the gifts manifest because of the love of God. You understand? So when somebody is hurting and I genuinely care for them and I can really experience the love of God through me for that person and I lay hands on them, they will be healing. Because it's the love of God manifesting. Or whatever it is, provision or whatever gifts manifest, it is because of the love of God in and through us that they manifest. Amen. So that's a key why we have, why we walk in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why it's important to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to live a Spirit-filled life, to nurture a relationship with the Holy Spirit, so that we can indeed walk in the love that God commands us to have towards one another. Okay. Now, in terms of the practicalities around this, this is tricky, okay, because now we all, yes, we love one another, peace, brother, and yes, we all, how does it, the 60s, they were going on about this whole, loving and everything. I think they had some different ideas there. But, there's some practicalities around it, and let's just have a look at a few of those this morning. I'm going to look at 1 John chapter 1, then I'll quickly look at verses 5 to 9. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay. It's quite a bit here. I'm just going to lift out one or two key things here. And one of the key things of caring for one another and looking out for one another is this whole in the light principle. Okay. And in a family, it works like that. You know, you can hide something from your siblings or from your parents for so long, and then it comes out. You know, it's just one of those things. If you're really in a caring, loving family, you can't hide something for too long. I was trying to think if I was able to hide something from my parents for very long. There was a time that I semi, by accident, shot my sister with a bow and arrow. I know that sounds terrible. I think it was before I was born again. I'm just trying to remember. But, I don't want to give you all the detail, but it wasn't like a full-on direct hit, okay? So it was just a graze, luckily. It was a graze there. But it went through a trouser, she had like a tracksuit trouser on it, went through a trouser leg and scraped past the leg. It was a homemade bow and arrow, okay? So don't get... But she blackmailed me with that piece of information because I... So she had me do all kinds of things. I can't remember how long it lasted and when my parents... But I think that's about the only thing I managed to keep from my parents for quite a long long time. But this is a key principle for us, looking after one another. And this one goes both ways, okay? This is... we call it accountability. I remember way back in my student days, we had accountability partners, which were kind of assigned to you. But the principle, whichever way we do it, the principle is that each of us has a place where we can have someone that we trust, that is in the same spiritual family as we are, that we can play open cards with. That we can say, listen, this is where I'm at. Transparent. No hidden agendas. This is what I'm struggling with, or this is what's going well, this is going what's not going well. Somebody I can go and speak to and say, I want to bring everything into the light. I want to walk in accountability. Okay, and that's such a powerful principle. You know, often with it is, sometimes we struggle with stuff from our past. We struggle, and the enemy wants to come and niggle at us with all kinds of cycles from our past. And often the power of that stuff, those cycles, whether it be sin or whatever it is, the power of that thing is in its secrecy. It's just me and it's terrible and I'm this terrible person. I don't even want to go to church. I don't even want to go to small group because I'm struggling with this thing. And, you know, I don't want to tell anybody. I'm afraid they're going to laugh at me, and or not laugh, be so shocked they're going to chase me out of church type of thing. No, seriously, you know, we always struggle with those things. And the enemy wants to tell you, know, that you can't go to your home group leader, your small group leader with this information. That they'll kick you out of church, you know. And they'll try and convince you that there's no safe place for you to share. And the enemy wants to keep you in that place of fear of rejection and fear of failure, because he's got you right where he wants you to be. But the moment we bring it in the light, and I've experienced it personally, you bring it, you tell somebody that loves you, that cares for you, and it's as if this mountain comes off you, because now it's in the light. Now, and this is very powerful. It says here, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, we have real fellowship. Okay, this is where fellowship happens, in the light. Okay, godly relationships happen when we're transparent with one another. And then it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it says there's a delivering power, there's power in that living in the light. Puts us in a position to experience the deliverance and the healing and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus in a whole new way. Are you with me this morning? So that is a key place where we position ourselves, we make ourselves vulnerable, and we say, listen, I'm putting myself in this position. Nobody's forcing me. I'm walking in the light. I'm being transparent. I'm not saying come to the microphone every Sunday morning and tell everybody, you know, your deep dark secrets. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. There's a place of trust, there's a place of safety, and those relationships are something you can trust for in a local body, in a church family. Okay. But those are key, okay? And these goes both ways, all right? Firstly, I choose to make myself accountable. It was a time where God really laid it on my heart. I need to be accountable. It was way back. I was still a student. But I wasn't in a small group because I was the zone coach, or whatever you call it. Yeah, that's what we call it these days. And then I prayed about it, and the Lord said, go to that guy. And I knew the guy quite well. We weren't really good friends then. It was a bit awkward at the beginning. But it was such a powerful thing that happened there, because I was firstly submitting to God. I was being obedient to him. And then I said to this guy, I know it's a bit weird, but I feel I need to be accountable to you. You know, is that okay? And that is really just the start of a great relationship and a great place of living, walking in the light. So firstly, we need to take that, you know, step. So I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to talk. I'm going to put myself out there, and I'm going to give someone the right to ask me the difficult questions. You know, not only about the stuff I'm struggling with, but also about the stuff that God has given to me. Gifts, talents, vision. You know, if God has given you a faith goals for the year that you're trusting for to grow in your relationship with God, or for your, you know, for your ministry, whether it be in small group or in worship. If you're in halls and you're trusting for people, specific people to be born again this year, somebody needs to walk that road with you. You know, if that's something God has entrusted to you, or it could be finance, or, you know, a specific vision. We're not only accountable in terms of our struggles, but the very, very key thing is we need to be accountable in terms of what has God entrusted to us. Finance, vision, resources. What are you doing with that instruction? I don't know about you, but I sometimes need somebody to say, listen, how's that going? How are you doing with that thing? And there's a real power when we make ourselves vulnerable in that way. But then the second part is, okay, firstly, we put ourselves in that position, and secondly, to be that person, to keep others accountable, okay? And this is sometimes a difficult thing, all right? You notice somebody, like maybe this person I was talking about, you notice, okay, this is the relationship happening, and because of where I'm standing, I've got a different perspective. I can see the danger. They don't see the danger. And now I've got a choice. I can either say something, or I can just ignore it. Okay? Okay, and then we can use a different example. You know, I see Dong's watching too much Desperate Housewives, and it's affecting his, you know, his work. You know, I'm thinking, Dong, no, leave that stuff. You know, it's whatever. You know, I've noticed something in my brother or my sister's life. You know, I've got a choice. Am I going to say something or am I just going to, no, that's their business. And you know what? The society we live in will say, no, that's their business. It's none of your business to tell somebody else. But that's a lie. Because if I really love them, I will surely open my mouth. If it's my daughter and I see there's an influence in her life that is bad for her, I will remove it, whether she likes it or not. Yeah, are you with me? At this age, I'm not going to even talk to her about it because she doesn't understand. But I will remove it. And there will be a time where I will talk to her about things and explain why I'm doing things. But because I really love her and because I care for her, I'm going to do the difficult things. Okay? And this is the key, guys. We are living in a time where God wants to bring us into a place of unity in pursuing His purpose. And if we cannot be straight with one another, we're never going to come to that place of unity. Okay? So what does it mean? That means when I see Dong is spending all his time watching Desperate Dial's Wives or something, then I want to say, Dong, let's go have a coffee. Let's talk about this. How's it going? I'm gonna be gentle and I'm going to be loving, but I'm going to have that difficult conversation with him. Guys, I'm going to share something with you. A couple of years ago, I was in... I had a situation where a lady... Why does it always come around to relationships with this? This person was wanting to marry this guy. And there were a lot of red lights going off, and we were concerned. You know, this guy was... But he was doing all the right moves. He did the foundations, and he got baptized and everything. And we were like, okay, well... But then there was still... There wasn't peace. Okay, we were like, what's going on? There's something is not right here. And they were kind of removing themselves out of fellowship, and we... And there were a lot of people, a lot of close friends of this person that were very concerned for valid reasons, okay? But because they kind of removed themselves out of the church, it was very difficult to really have that conversation. And you know what? There was a time where I was thinking, should I go over there because, you know, I wasn't... Should I go and talk, you know, because a lot of people had already had that conversation. Should I do it? Should not? In any case, long story, we tried to kind of swing it around. We tried to get the guy more in church type of thing. But the thing is there, now I know I could have done more. I know I could have been more bold. I could have been more straight. I could have been more stronger. And I could have kind of just... I could have done more in this situation, I feel. And now it's 2 years, 3 years down the line. They've been married and divorced. You know the distraction that has happened there? It's terrible. And, you know, it's stuff like that that makes me, when I stand here now, I will have that difficult conversation. You know what? I will not think twice. Because I will say what I need to say because I really love somebody. You understand? If I don't care about them, let them carry on. But if it's my brother in church, I want to have that difficult conversation. I'm going to say, listen, I care about you, and I see where you're going now. You're going to hurt you. It's going to destroy you, actually. So whether you don't want to talk to me after this, that's okay. But I'm going to tell it to you in any case. Because that is the command that God gives me, is to love you in this way. So that even when it's not comfortable for me, it's a laying down my comfort type of love, laying down my what's comfortable, what's convenient, what's nice and politically correct, all of that stuff. It's a laying down your life type of love. Are you with me this morning? So you're putting yourself almost in a difficult position, but that is the kind of love that God requires. Are you with me? Guys, this is not in our own strength. This is why we need to walk in the Holy Spirit. We need to walk in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, in the conviction and the direction of the Holy Spirit. This is in these difficult situations, we need to trust God for His anointing to be able to speak to one another the truth in love so that it's received in that way. Okay, and it's not a one-off coffee. I can't say to Dong, okay, just once and then never see you again. It doesn't work like that. Most of the time, it's a walk that you walk with someone. Okay? How's it going with that thing? Are you working through it? How are you doing with that vision that God has given you? Are you progressing? Okay, I need to close here. And then very powerfully, James 5, 16, 19, and 20. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Okay, that's exactly what I've been talking about. We confess our sins to one another. We be bold in our transparency before our brothers and sisters. And to have the boldness to pray for one another. Okay, yes, this, you must remember, this concern, before I go to speak to Dong, sorry Dong, I'm just using this ridiculous example. But before I go and speak to him about whatever, I'm going to have to be praying for him for lots already. It's not like the first thing is I'm going to go and chat to him. There's a lot of prayer, there's a lot of concern, okay? And then there's a very powerful picture of when we actually manage to turn somebody. Some little sheepy that's wandering off there near the cliff. We can see it's dangerous there. We kind of turn him back. It says here, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. And that's exactly what we God is at. That is why Jesus died on the cross, is his love went beyond anything we can imagine. So I want to say, guys, look out for one another. Look out for one another, pray for one another, and there's a grace in this season to have those difficult chats, okay? Are you with me? There's a grace for it. I've experienced this when God gives a word like this, or he brings us into a season like this, now there will be grace to have those chats, okay? Those, somebody that's been on your heart for a while, somebody you've been concerned about, there's grace now to go, to have that phone call, or to have that coffee, to be straight with them, because you're walking in obedience. Are you with me? Okay. I'm sure you are. Okay, yes, then in John 15, again, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Okay, this is a heavy one to end on. But the reality is we will experience animosity from the world. Okay, the moment you choose Christ, some of us it's in our family, some of us it's in our friendship circles or at work, but we experience a resistance. It's natural. It's to be expected. Jesus says, you will have tribulation, okay? But he says, but do be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But now this is such a key, guys. We know we're going to have it. It's going to be tough sometimes out there. And that is why we must embrace the family. We must be transparent. We must look out for one another. Because the reality is we're going to get some resistance out there. Okay. And again, it's a laying down my life for my friend type of love. It's not what's comfortable for me. It's not to the point of what's politically correct. It's not to the point of what I feel comfortable or not comfortable or what society says. It's okay, and I realize I could be sacrificing something here now, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to love you. I'm going to walk this road with you, although it's going to cost me something. Okay. Where I saw something on Oprah many years ago. Maybe it's not Desperate Housewives. Maybe it's Oprah. In any case, and there was this picture. There was this man and his son on the show, and they had a terrible thing happen. They were in Africa somewhere. I don't know if it was a lake or a river, but the boy got attacked by a crocodile, and the crocodile was dragging the boy down. And you know, once they're just in deep water, it's really bad news, okay? So the dad immediately jumped in after them, and he literally, it's crazy what you can do when the adrenaline is going, but he managed to, I don't know if it was the boy's arm or his leg, but he managed to wedge his arm into the jaws of the crocodile and kind of, you know, force it open to release his son. And, you know, he firstly managed to, you know, get to them, and then he managed to put his arm in there and get his son out, and now he's sitting there on stage and he's got one arm. Okay, so obviously this is the result of the whole thing. The arm stayed behind. All right, so Oprah's trying to get into what happened in that moment. So he says, how did you feel, you know, what had happened? And he said, and it's, what becomes clear is he would do it again. No question. no doubt, no thinking about it. Obviously, it was excruciating pain. He lost his arm. He got chewed off. Okay, it's not funny. But what Oprah, I could see, she's sitting there making sums in her head. How does this work? And what she's seeing here is the love of the Father. The love of the Father that says, I don't care what happens to me. I don't care if I lose a limb or three. I'm going to get this boy out of there. Okay? That is the love of God that he has for us. He puts himself in harm's way. He sends his son. Jesus the scripture says, he's despising the shame, you know, enduring the cross because of the love that he has for us. That love that I don't care what happens to me, but I'm going to get you out of there. And guys, this is the same love that God has poured out in our hearts. That is that same love that God says, I've poured it into your heart. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to put yourself in situations where you know this is now going to probably hurt, but you're going to rescue somebody. You're going to rescue your brother or your sister or your neighbor that's not even doesn't even know Christ yet. That love that we have for them will, yes, it will be uncomfortable. Yes, it will hurt sometimes. But that is exactly the capacity that we have in Christ. Stand with me this morning, please. So, this morning I'm trusting that we can take this new commandment and we receive it with gladness, and at the same time we also receive the capacity that we have to obey through the power of the Holy Spirit, the capacity that we have to love through the love of God that has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And guys, whether it's to talk about, and like I mentioned, not only the struggles and the sin, only yes, that stuff as well, but to talk about the resources that God entrusts to us, the vision, the gifting, whatever it is, to really live in a place where you give other people, you say, listen, I want you to ask me that thing. I want you to keep me accountable for this thing. This is what God is telling me about my workplace. I'm trusting for this and this person to be safe. Will you pray for me every week in small group? Will you pray with me? Because this is what God has said. Okay? God, there's a grace for this now. I know there are people that, it's like the little sheep on the side there of the fold, kind of wandering out. And we know, you know, it's dangerous there. Guys, don't delay this. Have that coffee. Have that straight talk. But pray first. Pray in small group. Come in agreement. Okay? But we need to care for one another this season. We need to get those guys that are, those, you know, maybe somebody that's been visiting church and hasn't been around for a while, gather them in again, okay? We need to watch out for one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that as you command us to walk in this love, God, that you not only command it an impossible thing, Lord, but you give us the grace, Lord, and you give us the capacity through the blood of your Son and through the power of your Holy Spirit that you've poured out, Lord, and the love of God that has been poured out in our hearts, God. And I pray in the name of Jesus this morning, fill us afresh, God, with your Holy Spirit. Fill us to overflowing. Fill every part of our beings with the power of your Holy Spirit and with the love of God, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That even when we walk the streets, God, whether it be in our family, in church, or whether it be in our community, Father, that your love will pour out from us like those rivers of living water that we read in Scripture, God, in the name of Jesus. Rivers of living water that will come forth from our innermost being and bring life to all those around, God, in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us grace, mega grace, in this season, Lord. And that grace doesn't kick in when we're still in our comfort zone. That grace kicks in like when Peter puts his leg over the side of the boat and takes that first step on the water. That's when the mega grace kicks in. Father, and I pray that even when we step out now in faith, step out to have those difficult conversations, step out to bring those in that have strayed, God, I thank you that for your mega grace toward us, God. Mega grace to walk in the love that God, that you have given us, God, in Jesus' name. And for those that don't know you, Father, those the neighbors, the colleagues, the friends, the classmates, Lord, I thank you for a boldness to love boldly, Father, to speak straight, God, to speak the truth in love, Lord. But I thank you for this incredible wisdom, Father, especially towards those who don't know you yet, Father. I thank you for a wisdom But I thank you that when we walk in your love, when we care in the way that you care, when you cared for us, Lord, that the people will turn to you, Father. People will taste and see that you are good. People will come face to face with the reality of your love for us, God. Oh, Lord, that's our prayer, Lord, that we would care for one another in this way, Lord, and that people will see that we are your disciples, God, and that people will have a yearning for that, Lord, and be drawn near to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for fruit. We thank you even this week, Lord, that you open our eyes to see the need, to see those in the body, in the family, in those outside that are in need, that are in danger. And I pray that we would boldly call them back in, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you for good fruit from this word, fruit that will bring glory to your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you know you've not walked in a transparent way, and you need to hold somebody else accountable, and you haven't done so, or whatever your prayer need is, I'm going to be in the front here. I'm going to love to pray with you. If you're sick, whatever your need is, God has got the answer for you. Okay, we've had incredible testimonies, people being healed. Did I tell you about the lady who came to the front for prayer for a heart condition? And they really experienced the presence of God as they were praying for her. And that she used to wear glasses. In the afternoon, she went to the doctor. She had to get a new prescription or something. And the doctor said, no, I don't know what happened, but your eyes are perfect. 20/20. So we still have to pray for her heart, but her eyes were healed. So she used to drive with glasses. She couldn't drive without glasses. Now she doesn't wear glasses anymore. Anyway, so God still heals. I mean, he hasn't changed his mind about that. If whatever your need is, okay, we want to pray with you. I want to just trust God for release. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning. And we'll see you soon. But if you want prayer, come to the front. Amen. Thanks.